Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you because you took the darkness away from my heart. You took, oh Lord, the sin nature away. You gave me the grace to put off the old man and put on Christ. Thank you, Lord, for enabling every one of us that have turned our lives over to the Lord to do the same. Being created now in newness of life, created as instruments of righteousness for His glory, we give you praise, give you glory and honor on such a day as this. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Father, we love you, we honor you, and we praise you. Hallelujah. As we share your word this morning, let the light thereof shine in our hearts and give us, O Lord, understanding of the great work that you did and the glory and honor that belongs to you. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good morning and good afternoon. Welcome, everyone. Worthy is the Lamb to receive glory and honor. Hallelujah. And that's our theme for today. And it ought to be our theme for every day of our lives, really, because the Lord is worthy. And I'm going to start here in the book of Revelation chapter 5. And we're going to talk about the great things that the Lord did and why he did it and what it all means for us. Hallelujah. In the book of Revelation chapter 5, I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. Hallelujah. Right away, we see that that book was so important. I mean, that God had to seal it with seven seals. I mean, God put one seal on something and that's it. Nobody can break even a single seal that the Lord put, because he said, I'm he that, you know, shuts and no one can open. Hallelujah. So why would he need seven seals? One was enough already. But this book sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel come out and proclaim with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? That was a challenge thrown out to everybody, the whole universe, really. Let someone step up if they can do it. Why don't you step up and loose the seals and open the book, you know, if you can. And no man in heaven nor in the earth, neither underneath the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. They couldn't even look on it, let alone open it. And I, John, wept much because no man was found worthy to open the book and to read the book, neither to look thereon. John was one of his close disciples, sitting with him at lunch, dinner and everything, walking everywhere. Whenever he went somewhere, you know, he took John and James and Peter, took them and all of that. And he was there, but he couldn't do it. And so he began to weep. No one. I mean, this is a book. Something is inside our book and we need to know the contents. But, you know, nobody was found worthy to open the book. I mean, what's so important in that book that it has to be secured by seven seals? You know, and John is crying, I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to even look upon it. And one of the elders stepped up to him and said, weep not, John. Behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Hallelujah. The root of David, he has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. He has prevailed. So there was something that he had to conquer. You know, prevail means you had to conquer something. Actually, there was a whole lot of stuff that he had to conquer to be able to be counted worthy to step up and take that book. Hallelujah. And so John looked around. He looked, you know, and he said, the lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed. So John turned around looking for some roaring lion that would come out of some thicket, you know, roaring and shaking up everything and so forth. And when he turned around and looked, instead what he saw was a lamb. Hallelujah. As it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And the lamb, bloody lamb, hallelujah, covered with blood all over. That was indeed the lion of the tribe of Judah. He got the victory as the lamb. And that is what we're celebrating right here this weekend. He stepped up. Hallelujah. He came and took the book. Oh, glory to God. Out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. And when he had taken the book, my goodness, everything else, all attention changed toward him. When he took that book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song. Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou was slain. See, this is how he became worthy. Thou was slain and has redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. The Lord has people in every nation. I don't care even if they are characterized as a heathen nation that don't believe in God or anything. God's got somebody there. That's what it says right here. Out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And thou hast made us unto our God. Kings and priests. Hallelujah. And we shall reign upon the earth. Now, we could not become kings and priests without what he did. What he did is what paved the way for us to become kings and priests. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and elders. And the number of them were 10,000 times 10,000. That's like a millions and millions and thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches. Now, where are all these power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing? Where is it all coming from? Hallelujah. It's all contained in that book. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard them saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that seated on the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. Whoever has the power and the grace and can open this book, let him be the inheritor. Let him inherit all things. If you can open this book, hallelujah, let him be the one that inherit all things. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, we are told that God, who at sundry times in the past, in diverse places, manners, and so forth, spake unto us by the fathers through the prophets and so on, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things. And he stepped up, claimed it right there. And then that title deed, everything. Jesus said in himself, all that the Father had is mine. Glory to God. And he got it. The road to his glory was through his sufferings. After his resurrection, in Luke chapter 24, as he went, you know, two disciples went to a place called Emmaus. And Jesus joined himself to them. They didn't know who he was. And they were talking about all the things that happened that weekend. And he said, what things? Glory to God. I love his sense of humor sometimes. He said, what things? And they said, well, are you a newcomer to Jerusalem? I mean, are you a JJC? I mean, all these things that, you know, I mean, the whole place, you know, I mean, everybody knew about this. Are you the only one that doesn't know these things? He said, what things? Tell me. So they began to tell him, you know, of how, you know, I mean, who this great Christ was, who they are thought to be, you know, somebody that would deliver them and so forth. And all the people had taken him and killed him and so forth. And how some of our company went and looked for him and he was no longer there. And now we're all troubled. We don't know what has become of him. And they began to say and say and say. And Jesus said unto him, O fools, you know, hardened of heart and slow to understand all that the prophets had written concerning the Christ. Ought not the Christ, hallelujah, you know, to have suffered all these things in order to enter into his glory? So Jesus began to tell them that, look, the way to glory for the Christ was through these sufferings. And that's what we see in Revelation chapter 5. Say, for thou wast slain. That's what made you worthy. And he went through everything. And he took the beating. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace even was laid upon. He was beaten so that we may have peace. You know, it wasn't just that we may be healed, but chastised for our peace. Stripes gave us healing. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. I mean, all of these things, every which way that we were condemned, he paid the price. The Lord laid upon him the iniquity of us all. And God even turned his back on his own very son. Because for a moment, he became sin. For a moment, the Lord laid the iniquity of all of us upon him. And in that moment, that Jesus became sin. You know, for he made him sin to, I mean, for us who knew no sin. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and 21. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And for a moment, he who knew no sin became sin. And God turned his back on him. That's right. God did turn his back on him for a moment. Because according to 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5, God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. Well, when Jesus became darkness and became sin, when he became sin, he became darkness. You know, and wow. God had to turn his back. And Jesus lamented on the cross, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? God forsook him. Because God could not behold, you know, that darkness and that sin for a moment. And that was the thing that Christ dreaded. It wasn't the physical death so much. It was the separation from the Father. But he'd never be separated from the Father. But he was going to be separated from the Father. And he dreaded it. And he began to pray, Father, you know, is there any other way around this? You know, but nevertheless, that will be done. And he prayed and prayed till blood was coming out of his forehead, you know, like sweat. And he prayed. I mean, you know, he dreaded a moment of separation. Dreaded it. And, you know, God turned his back on him. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah 53, you know, that God, you know, I mean, just turned his back on him. Even though he was sinless, and even though, you know, I mean, he was the Holy One of God, yet God did all of that for us. My goodness. Somebody had to pay the price. And the Son of God did it for us. And God had a plan from the beginning, because the Lamb was there with him from the beginning, even before the world began. It was slain already. God already knew it. You know, I mean, even though it was not his will that, you know, the man and his wife would disobey and sin, but God foresaw it, because he is God. He sees all and he knows all, and he foresaw it, and he made a plan before the world began. A plan of redemption, but it was going to cost him very dearly. It was going to cost him. The only way, you know, for that redemption, even though he gave a type throughout the Old Testament of bulls and goats and all these things, they couldn't really do it. The only way was God himself, you know, the pure, perfect blood for redemption. You know, he had to set aside a plan of himself, he himself coming in flesh. Wherefore he is called the Son of God. The angel appeared to Mary and said, that holy thing that shall be born of you shall be called the Son of the Highest. Hallelujah. Because he's got to be called somebody's son. Can't be called Mary's son exactly. Can't be called the son of Joseph, because he wasn't the son of Joseph. But whose son will he going to be? Well, some people call him the son of David. And Jesus asked them, the scribes, he said, look, why do these scribes say that Christ is the son of David? And David himself turned around and said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit down at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. If David called him Lord, how come then he is his son? And the people were silent, you know, because they couldn't answer him a word. They didn't know what he was talking about. And Jesus, most of the time, he got them twisted up like that. You know, and he would just say something and they would just be twisted up. But we know that he was not only his son, because the Bible calls him the root and the offspring of David. First the root, and then later the offspring. Glory to God. You know, and indeed he was. Hallelujah. God planned it all that way. But I want to draw attention to the forsaking of the Christ. You know, not only did all men forsake him, his own father forsook him for a moment on the cross. Think about that. And when he was in that garden of Gethsemane, everyone had forsaken him. The closest disciples, even the one that used to say, I'm the one that Jesus loved. Well, he used to claim that. All of them, even the one that bragged that if anybody else forsakes you, I won't do it. All of them forsook him. It was all alone. But he was not alone. Hallelujah. He was not alone in that garden. The Lord was with him. The Father was with him. The angels came and strengthened him. You know, and as he agonized, thinking of that moment of separation, the angels came and strengthened him. The angels didn't quite understand it all. But the Father said, go down there and strengthen him. You know, and they strengthened him. And he, you know, he gained strength. And he went to the disciples and said, will you pray with me an hour? They slept off. He went again. You know, three times he did that. It took him three times as long as it would have taken him if they would have just prayed with him. You know, I mean, it reminds us of today. The things that God is wanting to do, and we're not collaborating with him, is taking him three times as long. Get it done. Because we wouldn't cooperate with him. If the disciples had gotten in there and prayed with him, it might have just taken him 1 hour. you know, pray through. But they didn't. They slept off. And so he kept doing it all by himself. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell us something today. You can mark it down as a punchline out of this room. That no servant is greater than his master. And according to the book, you know, that where Jesus told it to them, that no servant is greater than his master, in the book of Luke chapter 6 and verse 40. But when the servant is perfect, he will be like his master. You cannot be, and neither of us can be greater than his master. If they did these things in a green tree, what would they do in a dry? Jesus had his moment of alone. That God Gethsemane experience, nobody can go through it with you. There'll be times when it seems like you're all alone. There are two times and two places that it's just you. You can't do it. Nobody would stand by Christ. God ordained it that way. He had to go through it so that we can see that there are times when you're going to be all, it's you, just you. When God called you, he called you alone. Not called any, you know, you and somebody else. He called you alone. Even if many people responded to the same call at the same time, it was you he called. And he said, I called Abraham alone. And you've got to, you know, you got to go the distance. Are you all in? But Jesus, you know, he was there. The second place where you're going to be all alone, you and him, is the most holy place. Only one person goes in there. Hallelujah. And when you get into that place of brighter union with him, it's you and him, one-on-one. From Gethsemane to the most holy place. That's your journey. It begins at Gethsemane for you. And this is what Christ did for us that we are celebrating this weekend. But that separation that he went through, my goodness. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9 tells us all the things that he brought to us. What he traded. For ye yourselves know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. How that though he was rich and possessor of heaven and earth and all things, he gave it all up. I became poor. He was born even in a manger, you know, among, you know, donkey poop and horse poop and everything. That's where he was born. Think about it. You know, I mean, that's why everybody missed him. They knew he was coming. They read the prophecies. They knew all about it. But he came in a way that they were not thinking. He didn't come from heaven blazing horns and, you know, thunders and lightning and everything. He dropped down into human flesh. You know, the only way that he could redeem man was he had to pay for the price as a man. There was no other way around. He could not do it, you know, as God himself. He could not do it as the angel. He could not do it as anything else. It was the man that sinned, and it was a man that had to pay for it. Hallelujah. You know, for by the offense of one man, sin entered into the world. Therefore, also by the righteousness of another man, glory to God, redemption entered into the world. That was God's plan. He had to be complete. Otherwise, the devil would have somewhat to accuse God of. You know, say, well, you know, this and that. You know how the devil is. You know, but now the devil has nothing that he can say. Because Christ fulfilled all righteousness. He paid the price as a man. Hallelujah. Yet the Spirit of God inside of him was the very Elohim. Hallelujah. As he said, my father and I are one. But he had to die as a man. God cannot die. It's impossible. You know, if God died, where would the universe be? You know, so, you know, God could not die. In that moment, there was a separation so that the Son of Man could die for us as a man. Even though he had the fullness of his Spirit of the Lord upon him bodily. Colossians 2 and verse 9. In him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. But at a moment, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And once that left him, he could get him. Hallelujah. Ladies and gentlemen, death got him. He got him too. You know, and Jesus knew it was coming. But as long as Jesus was in that light, which he never was separated from the light, that death could not get a hold of him. That tells us also, when we are in the light, death cannot get a hold of you. But the reason death gets every one of us is because we're oscillating back and forth between light and darkness. When you can stay in that light, and that's what we're hoping to do once we make our way into that holiest of all. Learn to stay there and grow in that light. Enoch figured it out. And once he got there, he never got out of that realm. He got deeper and deeper into that light. And one day he was unified with the light and he was gone. That's it. Changed from glory to glory. And as long as Jesus was in that light, which he was the very light, death could not get a hold of him. That light had to depart from him for a moment in order for death to get him. That's how serious what God did for us is. And even the whole world revolted. There was darkness on the face of the earth for 3 hours. Because the light of this world was snuffed out for a moment. And it was all planned by the grace of God. The grace of God that brought salvation, you know, to us was all planned. And in those dark moments, even at his very dying moment, with his last breath, he was still saving a soul on the cross. Hallelujah. Because that's what he came to do. And when he did, he went down there. My goodness. Woo-hoo-hoo. For 3 days and 3 nights, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus said it himself, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale. 3 days and 3 nights. That's it. It wasn't a day and a half. You know, it was a whole lot more than that. It wasn't Friday to Sunday. It was 3 days and 3 nights. But nevertheless, we celebrated during this time. But he went down there and whooped that devil. Ooh, glory to God. From pillar to post. Give me those keys. Took all of his captives. Hallelujah. That the captive and the prey of the mighty be delivered. Yes, he did it too. And now here we are today, free at last. We celebrate that freedom. And let us not be entangled again with the yoke of the bondage of sin, because he has delivered us from that. But in a moment, all of that was planned. And then he was reunited with the Father. Woo-hoo-hoo. Glory to God. He paid the price. He prepared, God prepared him for it too. 40 days and 40 nights he fasted and prayed to get himself ready for that moment of separation. And all that, you know, people thought that, oh, he was just praying and fasting for the miracles that he did. He was the Son of God already. He didn't need any prayer and fasting for those miracles. But there were some tests he had to go through that his soul could not endure. Because that soul, say, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Couldn't endure it. It couldn't just figure out how he's going to be separated from the Father. But God had prepared him. And he was ready. Hallelujah. He said, well, for this cause I came. And I'm going to go all the way. And he went all the way. Hallelujah. And now we see him resurrected. He appears to John on the Isle of Patmos. And I said, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. I am Alpha and Omega. Don't think of him anymore as our little baby. Oh no, that's gone. That was then, but this is now. Now, the Alpha and Omega. Once again, like it was from the beginning. Glory to God. And I behold, I make all things new. I am the beginning. And the ending, the first and the last. Ladies and gentlemen, that's who he is. He's not the second. He's not the third. He's not any of those such things. He is the first and he is the last. And Isaiah 9 and 6 will tell you, for unto us a child is born and unto us a son is given. Glory to God. And there is a process between being born and being presented as the son. A big long time process. Took him 30 years in the preparation. From the time that he was born as a child to be presented as the son of the living God, took him 30 years to accomplish it. And then one day he come out being baptized of John in the Baptist. John the Baptist in River Jordan. Hallelujah. The heavens opening up. Now he's presented to the whole world as the son of God. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a process that we ourselves must go through. This process is described in many places in the Bible. John chapter 1 and verse 12. For as many as receive him, he gave them power to become. There is a process to that becoming. He got the power. There's a process to becoming. Galatians 4 and 19. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. They're still becoming. But they were saved already. They gave their lives to Christ. These are believers. He was writing to the saints that are in Galatia. You know, he wrote to them. But Christ was not fully formed in them yet. So there is a process. And if we go through like he went through, there is a crown of life. Hallelujah. There's a promise of life. Today we see that he made the way and he showed us. Look, Christ ought to have entered into his glory through his sufferings. Ladies and gentlemen, if we, shy away from those sufferings, if we don't want to suffer for the name of Christ, we cannot be glorified with him. But if we suffer with him, then we shall also be glorified with him. And ladies and gentlemen, all who will live, godly lives in Christ shall suffer persecution. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. We will suffer with him so that we also must be glorified with him. But let's conclude this lesson by turning our focus and attention back again to what made Christ so worthy. We've seen the plan. We've seen how he went through with it. And what was it that he got? As the heir of all things, according to Hebrews chapter 1 verse 2. What were the things that God owned? Well, God's the creator of heaven and earth. You know, Jesus said himself, all that my father has is mine. Glory to God. And God gave it all to him. And not only did God give it all to him, you know, Jesus turned around and gave it all to us. My goodness. He said, look, we are not only heirs of God, but joint heirs with Christ. And Jesus said, all the glory that I had with you from the beginning, I have given to them, that they may all be one, even as we are one. He gave it all to us. And what was it? Well, the title deed to the earth, glory to God, you know, and which Adam lost. God gave it to him at the beginning, Genesis 1:26. Subdue the earth. Have dominion over everything. And he was going to do it. And as a matter of fact, he did for a while. He had dominion over the fish, the birds of the air, the wild beasts. They were not wild at the beginning. They were all docile. You know, and they would come to him. They were enlightened. They looked to him for instructions. The glory of God was upon him. He had dominion. He told them what to do. He put them in their place. He said, you will be the lion, that's it, till today. Whatever name he called it, God brought them all to Adam to see what he would do. And that's dominion, folks. That's more than just authority. Authority is delegated power. Dominion is rulership. Hallelujah. Rulership is what God gave Adam, and he lost it. And Jesus had to get it back. And even when Jesus was confronted by the devil said to him, look, all these things are delivered unto me. I don't know. who delivered it to me. But Adam did through his, you know, falling for the trickery, Eve and all, of the devil, making them to doubt the word of God. They lost it. And Jesus didn't argue, but he had a plan. He had a plan to pay that ransom. See, once he paid that ransom, then the devil has no more claim. All the claim of all of these things are delivered unto him, which Jesus didn't argue. But Jesus, when he went through and paid that ransom, my goodness, the court of heaven, where the devil used to go and accuse everybody and so forth, you know, he couldn't say nothing anymore because Jesus presented the ransom. My goodness, he did it too. Hallelujah. And not only did he lay down his life, God gave him that power to take it up again. He said, this commandment I have received of my Father. Destroy this temple. And in 3 days, hallelujah. My goodness. I never saw anybody that raised themselves up from the dead. Did you? Or do you? Destroy this temple. And in 3 days, I will raise it up again. And they accused him of it. They said, you know, this is an insurrection. This building that we've had, you're going to tear it down and raise it up in 3 days. So they accused him to everybody, the government authorities and so on. They thought, you know, was talking about the physical building. Oh, no, no. My goodness. You know, that body was destroyed, put it down. But the Spirit of God that raised up Christ from the dead, you know, Christ unified with the Father. He can say I, because he and the Father are one. He can say it too. I mean, all the things that Jesus said, you know, you could never really separate him from the Father, even though he was showing us how to have a relationship with the Father. And he would always talk about the Father for our benefit. But there are many times he couldn't really separate himself. He would say, you know, the Holy Spirit whom the Father will send in my name. And then he would say, the Holy Spirit whom I will send to you from the Father. It's all the same thing. Whether the Father send it in my name or I send him from the Father, all the same. Ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Ask the Father anything in my name, he will do it. It's all the same. It's all wrapped up in one. And he gave us that power to get that same relationship that he had. That title deed. And he said, finally, glory to God. And I love the way that he put it together. Woo-hoo-hoo. Thank you, Jesus. Now, if you don't believe all of these things that I said, listen to this in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. Just like I inherited all things. According to Hebrews chapter 1 verse 2. Christ was appointed heir of all things. That means he inherited all things. And now he turned around and says, he that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God. And he will be my son. That is the greatest overcomer's reward. Many others were promised in chapters 2 and 3 of Revelation. But here, all things. Hallelujah. Just like he said, he that overcometh shall sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame and am set with my Father in his throne. Revelation 3 and 21. And to cap it all, this is the capstone of it all. Revelation 21 and 7. If you overcome, you will inherit all things. That title deed that no one else could open. Well, of course, when he peeled back the seals, he showed some of the judgment that's coming upon the world. But there was much more. There was more in that title deed that he would not reveal. Because when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence. John began to hear some things in the thunders and was going to write it and said, don't write it. Oh, no. Let them know about the seals, the judgments that are coming. You know, let them know about the trumpets. Let them even know about the vials. Let them know about the judgment upon the whore system. Let them know about all those things and so forth. But I'm going to keep this one secret. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I'm going to reveal it to whosoever will come in. Glory to God. He's not going to put this one out there. How that he inherited all things. And how that the elect of God will inherit all things with him as well. He kept that secret. Don't write it. Shut it up. Those words. Huh, glory to God. But we see by the Spirit of God. He said, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, but God revealed them by his Spirit. Glory to God. Now, ladies and gentlemen, what manner of men and women we ought all now to be, seeing that God has given us all these things. And nothing should anyway anymore triumph over us. Not even any day. Not even the so-called Sabbath days. You know, they told Jesus, you can't do those things on the Sabbath. And Jesus said, look, the Sabbath was made for man. Man was not made for the Sabbath. If you are a child of God, Jesus said, I am Lord. The Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. And Jesus was not bound by, you can't do this or you can't do that. And neither should we. You know, some people can't do this and can't do that. You know, Paul said, look, I'm afraid of you because, you know, you have this touch, not taste, not handle, not this, that, and so on. I'm afraid of you because God has given you power over all things. Hallelujah. You know, and, you know, have the confidence in yourself. Be fully persuaded within yourself whether you want to honor one day above the other. That's all your business. You know, God doesn't care about those things anymore. You know, behold, I've given you all things. Hallelujah. Whether Sabbath, whether Monday or Sunday, whether Saturday or Friday, it's all the same to him. Hallelujah. We live, we move, we have our being in him. Glory to God. And may the Lord help us. We'll continue, you know, some of these powerful, you know, powerful inheritance that we have in him. We may continue some of that tomorrow. But what Christ has purchased for us, the price that he paid, and, God finished it up by he coming out of that grave. Now, if he had not come out of that grave, Apostle Paul argued in 1 Corinthians 15 that we would still be in our sins. But because he came out of that grave, now we have the power of redemption. And remember, Christ was made a high priest. That's a different kind of priest after the order of Melchizedek, the power of an endless life. So he's able to succor forever them that he has called. I mean, he doesn't need to lose his priesthood like all the others did because they were not allowed to continue because of death. But he, because he liveth forever, my kashe torobo shanda, he can do it and he can sustain us forever. And we are now seated in him in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers. You know, so we should no longer be subject to the elements of this world. And the beggarly and weak things. No. We're now above. Seated with Christ. Above all. Hallelujah. From whence henceforth expecting until all his enemies be made his footstool. The last of which will be death itself. Glory to God. Death will be swallowed up in glory. And you know, some people can figure out how to beat that death before that final death being swallowed up in glory. Enoch figured it out. Hallelujah. Adam told him and everybody else, we're just waiting to die. He told us we're going to die and we're doomed to die. You know, and we're just waiting. And Enoch said, well, how come you're not dead yet? Well, you know, we're going to die. Because he already said, we're going to die. In the day that you do it, you will die. And Enoch said, well, we'll see about that. Glory to God. One man, you know, engaged God in the spirit. Everyone else said, well, whatever, you know, we're waiting to die. But he said, no, I'm going in that garden. Adam said, son, you can't. So, well, I'm going in there one way or another. Or what's in there is coming to me. And he began to pursue after God. He began to shed that darkness. Hallelujah. He began to put on light. Pursued. Transformed into light. Little by little, little by little. And he figured out how to outrun that death. My goodness. And one day, changed into light. He was gone. Glory to God. Now that's our hope, ladies and gentlemen. You know, while we are yet waiting for death to be swallowed up in victory, You know, we can even ourselves defeat death. Glory to God. God, Christ defeated death. Bible says he tasted death for every man. He did it too. Hallelujah. And now we can say, like in the words of 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18, we can say that the Lord is changing us from glory to glory. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changing to the same image of the Christ from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And unto him alone, who died for us, according to Romans 4 and 25, he said he was delivered for our transgressions. That's right. But he also rose up again for our justification. Glory to God. Delivered for our offenses. Raised again for our justification. Justification means it never happened. Glory to God. Just as if it never happened. Unto him that is able to do all things, who did that, gave up his son for us, and who spared not all of that, spared not his most precious son, gave him up for us, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? Now, unto the Lamb be praise, because he is worthy. He is worthy, because he defeated death, he defeated the devil. He got the victory where the devil said, they can't do it. Told the Lord, they can't do it. They'll never do it. You know, I got Adam to turn it over. You know, they'll never do it. None of them can do it. Lord said, well, we'll see about that. I'm going to show you the seed of the woman. He's going to do it too. Glory to God. You know, and he did it. Hallelujah. Wherefore we rejoice and stand in that victory today for what he has done. All glory unto the Lamb. Glory unto the Lamb. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, Father, we thank you and praise and exalt the mighty name of Jesus. For God has now highly exalted his name above every name. Hallelujah. God has given him the power, the commandment I have received of my Father, he said. And now he stepped up and took that book. And we join the elders in heaven, the powers that be in heaven, and all the angels and thousands and hundreds and ten thousands and thousands of thousands. We join the host of heaven to say, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive glory and honor and power and riches and blessing. Hallelujah. For he has done it all. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We give you, Lord, the praise. We give you, Lord, the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.